Blog Talk Radio.
The LaRusha Kane Show.
Hello, beautifuls, and thank you for tuning into the LaRusha Kane Show. I am excited to be with you. Yes, I am. I have my tea. I hope that you have your tea, your coffee, or your favorite beverage as we sit back and chat. Well, today, before we start our show, you know, I always ask you to do a few things. I want you to go on Facebook, IG, or Twitter and hit up your family, your friends, your tweets, and let them know that it's going down today on the LaRusha Kane Show. Well, I hope that your week was wonderful. I hope that your weekend so far has been phenomenal. And I hope that today, I know today is going to be an epic show. You're going to hear something that's going to encourage you, inspire you, motivate you, empower you, yes, to continue your process. Well, in the co-host chair, we have the one and the only Huisha Bush. Some of you know him as the voice, the PA announcer for the WNBA Los Angeles Sparks. You know him as Hootie Hoo! Well, today he's in the co-host chair, and he's going to be sharing with us how he overcame grief. You know, in this season, you know, being that it is the holiday season, a lot of people right now are struggling. They're going through different things, you know, depression, sadness, confusion, all the what-ifs, the shoulda, coulda, would-ifs. What could I have done differently? Is there anything that I've done wrong? Why me, God? Why my family? They're plagued with a lot of questions on how do I go forward in this season without my loved one? How do I live on without them? You know, while preparing for this show, I began to think and just kind of reminisce on a few things about how we, you know, went through our season the first time, a grief season, the first time my loved one passed away. You know, women, we tend to talk about it. We tend to share. We don't hold back. We express our feelings. You know, we articulate ourselves, you know, fairly well, I do believe. You know, but I wanted to hear from a man. I wanted to hear from someone that has gone through this experience of losing someone, but also know what it's like on the other side. A man with a voice, a man that is articulate, a man who's willing to share his journey, his process, his heart, his love, his concern, and also what he's learned. Well, I'm not going to prolong our time any further because he is in the co-host chair and he's excited to share with us his process, his journey, his story, his testimony of overcoming grief. Well, we're going to bring him in live. Well, hello, Huisha.
What's up? This is a pretty comfortable chair right here.
I'm glad you're comfortable in it. And you know, to answer that question, just waiting for you. Just sitting here with pen, paper, and ready to take notes on all the fabulous things that you're going to share with us today.
All right. It's going to be a good day.
Yeah. Ooh, you hear it. You hear it. You hear it. You heard it yourself. I'm telling you, he said it's going to be a good day. Well, before we jump into the show, you know, I do this thing called icebreaker questions. And, you know, I went to the movie one day with my husband and three of my girlfriends, and we were watching Top 5. Some people don't like the show, didn't like the movie, and some did. That's neither here nor there. And in the movie, he asked a question to those that were sitting there. Who are your favorite top five rappers of all time? So this is where I got this idea from, to ask these five icebreaker questions so that people can know who Huisha Bush is. Well, are you ready to play this game with me?
Let's do it. I'm ready this time.
All right. Okay, well, here we go. Okay, if you had a bucket list, what is the one thing on that list that scares you the most that you know that you need to do?
Whoa, I guess I wasn't. The one thing on a bucket list that scares me the most that I know I need to do?
Yeah.
That's tough. That you need to do?
Yeah.
The one thing on a bucket list scares me the most that I know I need to do. I don't. What? Can we skip the question too? I don't even know if I keep a bucket list like that, because it makes me feel like, you know, I don't know. I don't know. Let's skip to two.
You know, let's skip to two. You know, if I could answer that question for myself, mine would be rock wall climbing or bungee jumping. Something like that. I want to do it, but I'm so afraid to.
Yeah, but you say you need to. So I don't know. I don't need to do that. I'm not jumping off no thing with tied to no rubber band.
I need to conquer that fear of heights.
Oh, no.
So I most definitely understand that. Okay, no. Question number two.
Okay.
Okay. You and your wife. I see you on Facebook and Instagram, and you always have those Girl Scout cookies.
Yes. This one I can
ask. Yes. What's your favorite cookie and why?
My favorite cookie is, at the risk of being beaten by my wife, the Oreo cookie. Get it?
Oh.
I'm sick of Girl Scout cookies. I love Girl Scouts, but what? Don't hit me. But but my favorite cookie is the Oreo cookie. Now, my favorite Girl Scout cookie is the Thin Mint. I will say that. Thin Mint is my favorite Girl Scout cookie.
Okay, good. At least you redeemed yourself to a certain degree. Okay, number three. Since you are the voice and we hear you often, well, I hear you every time I come to the Sparks game. Well, out of all the sports, what's your favorite? Out of basketball, baseball, hockey, on and on. What's your favorite?
My favorite sport, I'm going to say, is actually volleyball. Like, I'm actually going to put basketball second. Because I can actually get out and still play volleyball without dying. I can play and enjoy it. And we kind of become, I think, of course, I guess we are a basketball family with everything. But, you know, my daughter plays volleyball. My wife played up through college, and she rushed volleyball. And I just enjoy volleyball because I don't want to say it doesn't take as much skill, but, like, people can get in and play it, you know, I think a little easier and enjoy, you know, what they're able to do a little easier than they can basketball. So I'm going to say volleyball is my favorite sport.
Good answer, good answer. Number four. Now,
okay.
This is the one that has been plaguing people for centuries, you know. Makes people stay up at night and scratch their head. Which one is better? Which one do you like more? Which one can you live without? Which one you can't go without? TV or books?
Unfortunately, to be truthful, I think I probably can't go without TV. Can't go without TV. I don't read as much as I should, but I read a lot when I was young. I was, like, always reading. I got to the point where I would read before I went to bed, like, time as a teenager. So I don't want to say I did my fill of reading, because you could never do your fill of reading, but I want to say that it definitely helped me to become, you know, an announcer. And so, you know what? I'm going to take credit for having to read those scripts and say that I can't go without TV.
Okay. That's better. That's better. Okay. Well, this is your last one.
Okay. four
now,
out of five.
This may be a tough one.
Okay.
Yeah, 4 out of 5. We're at number 5 now. Okay. Okay, my question is, now this one may be hard. Now this one may have you stumped for a minute, but
okay.
I want to see what you're going to say. Who is Huisha Bush?
Let's see. Huisha Bush is Huisha Bush is a very cerebral person. I do a lot of thinking about just everything. You know, it just seems like there's always something crossing my mind, whether it be work, family, you know, money, whatever, but I'm constantly thinking. I'm not always I'm trying to think of the words you used. It's not an introvert or an extrovert, but
ambivert.
There you go. I think that described me to a T. I enjoy making people laugh. I think that if you saw my name on paper, you'd be surprised to meet me and see who I was, you know, because the Huisha name is not a common name. I haven't found any other ones yet. And it throws people off, like on job applications or, you know, just people that haven't met me, you see a name and you're like, what is that? Who is that? And, you know, when you meet me, you're kind of like, I would think people have told me they're kind of surprised. So just a thinker, love to laugh and love to make people laugh, able to laugh at myself. And just about my family and trying to take care of business the best that I can.
I love it. I love that answer. I love it. You know, I haven't seen or heard of anyone with your name either. So it's one of a kind. You're unique. And I am excited to have you. And I'm excited. There's questions that are being presented to me about you as we are on the air. So I have to ask this one question first. But I just wanted to say that when I met you, you were all of you're a very quiet, humble person, carry yourself rather well. And I do appreciate you taking out time to come on the LaRusha King Show. And I would be remiss not to acknowledge your queen, Sean. You know, hello, Sean. Thank you for allowing the husband to come on to the show today. So we always have to give a shout out to the wife and to the family because, you know, they're a package deal. You can't have one without the other. So I'm excited for that. Well, the question that's being presented to me is, how did you get started being an announcer? That's the hot question that someone would like to know.
Okay, well, I'll try to make it as brief as I can, but when I got out of college in 96, 97 from Almighty Clark Atlanta University in Atlanta, Georgia, I was a mass media arts major. And what I wanted to do, actually, I didn't do. I really wanted to get into theater arts and acting and stuff like that. I found my way talked out of a lot of that. I had kind of messed around behind the camera, you know, doing some video camera work and stuff. But it was never really what I wanted to do. So I got out of school and didn't know what to do. You know, I came back to California and everybody was like, oh, well, this is this is Hollywood. You know, you can do all that stuff here. And you can, you know, if you chase it. But, you know, in order to chase stuff, you kind of got to want it. You know, I'm not going to chase it if I don't want it. And I didn't really want to be in the camera work. I did it and I was okay at it, but I didn't really want to do that. So I came back. I started substitute teaching at a little school at California, 605 and 210 Duarte High School. And I was there for about a year and a half, 2 years, between 96 and 98, when a man, a good friend of mine, a coach of the girls' basketball team at that time, by the name of Darnell Prothrow, asked me if I would announce his games. And I had no experience in announcing. I think he was a combination of led, you know, by God, and I think that he, you know, knew I was a mass media arts major, and it was just, you know, something that, you know, maybe here's something you can do that's kind of in your field a little bit and help us out. So that was in 1998. I announced my first sporting event. I announced my first game, Duarte High girls basketball in 98. And it went from there. I actually just gave that up this year, which would have been my 20th year with them. But from there, I was the Pasadena City College coach, Joe Perrone. He was recruiting at the high school. He heard me, and he asked me to go over there. His assistant coach, we went to the church, same church at the time, so I went over there, and that was in 2002 or 2003, and so I was doing both now from 2003 on. I was doing Duarte High and Pasadena City College, and Pasadena City College is where I met Penny Toler, who is she's the general manager of the Sparks, I believe. I believe she's vice president and general manager, right, of the Sparks. So I met her at a banquet that I was hosting because part of the announcer duty was to host the end of season banquets, and she was a special guest at the banquet. So I met her, and actually, to be honest with you, when I introduced her, I read her bio, and I told her at that time, this was in 2010, I believe, 2010, 2011, I introduced her, and then she came up, and she said, wow, I don't know who that guy is, but he definitely gave me a good introduction. I should take him, you know, with me wherever I go. And so after she finishes speaking, I get back up, And I forget everybody in the room, and I look at her and I say, well, my name is Huisha Bush, and I'm going to be your next announcer for the Sparks. True story, right? Mm. I told her that right there in front. Like, forget what we're doing here with the banquet. That's, you know, that's how it is. So I told her that. And it happened to be that that year that they were looking for an announcer because their announcer that they had for the first 14 years was retiring or, you know, giving it up. So I tried out, and I didn't get it. And that hurt. That hurt bad. I still kind of remember it even as I talk about it, not getting it. And then they brought one guy in 1 year. They brought a lady in the next year. And then finally in 2013, I was given an opportunity to just fill in, actually. It wasn't to hire. It was just that the person that was going to be there, I mean, that the lady that was there couldn't be there one game. So they said, okay, look, come do this preseason game for us. And, you know, it's just to see, you know, it's just to fill in. So I did it, and they hired me after that. And I feel bad. I always feel bad for the other lady because she couldn't, you know, it was just one game, and then I ended up getting it. But I just heard somebody say it, sometimes the best ability is availability. So, you know, I was available. I had actually been calling for 2 years, just, you know, every now and then, hey, I'm still interested. And that's how I got the job. So I don't want to go on too long, but that pretty much brings us up to now, at least to within 5 years. So now I've completed my fifth season with the Sparks. So that's how it happened. And I do want to say quick, that's kind of why I am the way I am, is because I believe anyway that, you know, God has made this way for me. And the way things have happened, especially as far as announcing, I can't take credit. You know, how can I take credit for being, there's only one announcer for the WNBA champion Sparks, you know, there's only one, you know, and I'm in awe of that a lot of times, you know, and it, you know, it just, even as I'm talking about it, it amazes me because on the Sparks, there's 12 players, you know, on the coaching staff, there's 5 or 6 people, you know, in the front office, there's so many people, you know, there's, if you go on their Facebook page, there's a million fans, there's, you know, yeah. But there's only one announcer, and I'm amazed a lot of times that it's me, you know, that I'm here, so I can't even find the spot or the place to get big-headed about it. I'm really thankful, and I've been really blessed in that.
Man, to that, and I'm going to say, on top of that, God is good. Yes, he is. And I know that the person said thank you for answering their question. Now, I want to jump into the topic of conversation for today, overcoming grief. And we know a few years ago, you lost your father, Willie Bush, to cancer. And, you know, a lot of times people go through various things and they don't get opportunity to share or even process it. First of all, process, because it's shocking. And then just being able to share it. Can you share with us a little bit of just how you found out about your father having cancer?
Well, the way I found out is Dad told us. You know, he pulled me aside and told me. You know, it was very, I don't know. I sit there and I can remember him telling me. And it was, I think at that time I processed it as informational, you know, just, okay, and, you know, what do we do next? You know, like, what's going to happen, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, he told me it wasn't, I don't know, and he wasn't, like, all broken up about it. I just remember that, you know, he didn't want people, you know, fawning all over him and this and this and, oh, I'm sorry and all that stuff. So it was kind of kept between the family. And you know, that's you know, that was his wishes. So that's, you know, and we pretty much stuck to that. And so that's how I found out. You know, he told me. It wasn't a surprise necessarily to us. I think it was at least a couple of years before he actually passed. So that's how I found out, through him.
Also, I want to give my condolences to the family. I know it's been a few years, but we still would like to acknowledge.
2012, yeah.
Yes, that you have lost your father. And I wanted to talk to you because I know that sometimes it's very hard for men to be able to share their feelings, emotions, and their thoughts and so on about this particular topic because, like I said, women process information differently, and we love to share our feelings and emotions. And so, you know, with you losing your father, I wanted to know, you know, now that, you know, he had, you found out, he shared it with you, he passed away, you were able to give him a homegoing service, and now it is 2017. And he passed away in 2012. How have you, from that time to now, been able to process the fact that, or have you been able to process the fact that your father has passed away?
Yeah, you know what? I think I've done about as good as I can do. I mean, I don't know, you know, we talk about overcoming grief, and I don't know that overcoming it means that you forget about the person that you lost. I think sometimes people, when people pass away, I think they think that overcoming means that they're not going to think about the person, or they're not going to, you know, have memories or wishes or things that they were there. But I think overcoming it means that you're able to move on, and I hope no one's offended, because you're not, I mean, moving on is just the term that's coming to my mind, because you're not moving on without forgetting, you know, and forgetting the person. You're moving on, you still have your life, you still have the lives of other loved ones that are nearby, you know, and all of those people are kind of going through it. But the thing is, you have to get up. You got to be able to get up, and you got to be able to go to work, and you have to be able to deal with, you know, your own family and kids, you know, despite the loss of that loved one. And I think that's what overcoming it is. Because if overcoming is forgetting about that person, or not talking about that person, or you know, just totally blanking them out of your life because they're no longer on this earth, I haven't done that. And I don't know that you can, or even that you're supposed to. I've talked a lot about being announcing for the Sparks for the first year, and which was the year after my dad passed, 1 year after, and actually looking around the Staples Center for him. So sometimes when I'm in large events and I'm announcing, and or it doesn't even have to be that. It could just be life stuff, you know, things that happen where I would have called him up, or I don't know, just things that just remind you of that loved one. And it might take a tear, it might take a laugh, it might take a smile. It might just be like, wow, Dad would have done this, or he would have said this, or whatever. And that's fine with me, you know, like I'm so good with that. And so that's my coming to terms with it and overcoming with it, is that when you think about that person, or when things remind you of that person, or when you look for that person in the audience or wherever you are, it's not grief, you know. It's just a reminder, and it's a blessing that you had that experience with that person, and you know, that's kind of my get over it or overcoming. You know, it's not grief, it's not sadness. It's just, you know, a little reminder, like, hey, wow, that was cool. You know, that Dad would have done this, or Dad would have sat there, and Dad would have done this. I mean, it was one of the hardest things for me was announcing, because I actually, man, I can tell you that before 2013, I had the period between 2010 or 2011 and 2013, when after Dad told us he had cancer, one of my greatest wishes and prayers was that he would be there if and when I got that job. And he didn't make it. So that's why I look around for him at times and you know, in the crowd, but it's okay. You know, I'm okay with it. So that's what I have to say. I don't know if that helps anybody. You know, you put a lot of pressure on me. I'm like, this is about overcoming grief, but I'm just talking. So, I don't know, but that's my thing. It's not grief. It's just a reminder, and it's a fun thing. It's just like if you go to Magic Mountain, you enjoy amusement parks or whatever, and you went as a kid, and you can look back and say, wow, I went to, let's say, Disneyland at grad night, and I remember every little thing I did. You know, it's not, you know, it's just a memory. It's a memory, and it's something that's like, wow, that was fun. Those were good times, this and that. And it's not a grieving, because you're still able to get up, go to work, you know, deal with the things that you have to do on a daily basis, and, you know, make it through life. So that's my thing.
No, I love it, and I wholeheartedly agree with you that we still have to remember them. We don't just suppress it and act like they never existed. And I think that's the problem, you know, with a lot of people. They, well, I got to forget them. I can't speak their name, or I can't say, oh, I remember when they did this, or laugh about certain things, or even look for them. A lot of people think it's unnatural to do, because we've never been taught how to grieve, you know, who, you know, when the stuff happens, a lot of us are just learning. We're going through it. We're facing our feelings and our emotions as they come. So that information that you shared with us about being able to live on and overcoming is not forgetting. It's living, continuing to live, but also knowing that it's okay to look for them. It doesn't make it, somebody might say, oh, that's a bad thing. You're supposed to just shut down. No, you're supposed to remember them. You're supposed to think about them and all the great things that transpired. So I'm glad that you shared that with us. You know, in my studies and talking, I know that your father worked for the gas company for 30 years, and he helped, you know, he was a man that loved to, you know, put his hands to things. So when it was time for additions to the family home, he did that, and he loved music and all of these great things. And he was such a voice and a presence in your family and in your life and in your home. As a father, as a husband, and as a father, what are some of the key nuggets, some of the key things that you use in your life or are attempting to use in your life with moving forward or paying it forward that your father taught you? What are some of the things that you try to implement and share?
One of the things that Dad always talked about was prayer and just praying through every situation. And, you know, I know there are people, there may be people listening that always consider people that aren't of the same faith and, you know, don't believe in God or whatever, but, you know, they'll come around. They'll come around. It doesn't hurt to pray. But he talked about prayer and praying and how it would help. And I want to say, I always say that Dad really didn't really get into the Christian faith. I mean, I remember them starting when I was a teenager, but it was later on in life. I'm going to say, you know, within the last 10 years of his life where he would really be advising, you know, me to be in prayer and to just pray about situations. You know, a lot of times you go to people for advice and you want them to tell you step by step, do this, do that, do this, do that, do that, and then do this. And Dad was like, hey, you know, he wouldn't try to fake the funk, so to speak. He would just be like, hey, pray about the situation. Because, you know, I don't know, I might do this and he might do this, but you know what? Pray about the situation. So that's one of the things that I do. I try to get them now. I mean, my children are, 11, 14, and 26, actually. 25. But the 11 and the 14-year-old, I try to say that to them now. Like, hey, you know what? You can pray about everything. And Dad used to say, you don't have to be all thou, almighty Lord, please cometh downeth to the, you know. You don't have to be like that. You can talk to him just like he said, I got a best friend. And he said, you talk to him just like you talk to him. You know, it's not disrespectful. It's not, you know, he already knows what you're going to ask for anyway. And so just pray and develop a relationship with him so that when he talks, you know his voice. You know, our pastor was talking one day about relationships, and it says, you know, he was talking about husband and wife. You know when your wife is calling, you know when your husband is calling you, you know, just by voice. And that's because you've developed a relationship with that person. So he was the same way. You develop a relationship with God, and then you'll know his voice. And when he's telling you, and I tell my kids, I say, when you're walking around that high school campus or whatever, and you hear something, you know, you always walk down this corridor, and something says, you know what, go this way. Just do it, mm-hmm. You know, because you'll know that voice. You know, you will know that voice if you develop a relationship with him. So that is my main memory of Dad and the things that he said. He said a lot now. Dad was a talker. I guess you can see I kind of got it too, but he said a lot. But that one to me is something that I can pass down to them, and hopefully they take advantage of that and you know, spend time on their knees, so to speak. And I say so to speak because if you want to stand up and pray, if you want to, you know, wherever that private space is or however you do it, you know, I believe that's time well spent, a good investment for your day, just saying thank you and starting with thank you and then dealing with those situations and talking them out. So that's the one thing.
Love it. Love it. And I like the fact that you said you try to be mindful of other people's beliefs, but you did put a butt there. You said it won't hurt to pray. And I think that's one great thing. If you can't give your children anything else, you can't teach them anything else, teach them how to pray. And I love how your father said it. Just talk to them like you're talking to your friend. It's about relationships. It's not about the these, thuses, and the thous and all of that. But just being able to speak to him like you would speak to your friend. And the more you spend time with him, the more you do understand his voice. You do understand. You do hear him and or, you know, and know what he's telling you to do. You hey, if you are listening and you have not started to implement prayer into your life or started to teach your children how to pray, I think this is a great time to start. I don't know about nobody else. This would be a good time to start. And if you listen to what Huisha said, he gave you a lot to chew on, and he taught you where to start. So today is a great day to start your process. All right. Well, we want to go on to the next question. You know, dealing with a lot of families, you know, I often hear, you know, the crazy stories, you know. the stories of that didn't leave me this, and you know, all the fussing and the fighting and all of that stuff. How has the Bush family been since Dad, the father, Willie Bush, has passed away?
I think been awesome. I talk about, and you know, you do hear those stories. It's one of the worst things to me in my mind to lose someone, and then, you know, now have maybe the family destroyed even more because there's fighting and arguing over, you know, money. Well, you know, let's go on out and say it, money, property, whatever it could be. Now, I always say that I don't know. Maybe mom, she held some things. I don't know if she did or not. But it really seemed to be good between, you know, me and my brothers, you know, and things just really worked out. I think. I hope. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I think we were blessed in that. And you know what, just kind of going back, I just want to kind of get this in, too, to the prayer thing, because my mom's mom and dad's stepfather were praying people, Christians. My dad's mom, you know, praying woman. I mean, I remember she'd come visit, and she'd make us learn the Bible chapters, and we'd read and do all those things. And it carries down, you know, it carries down. I believe that those prayers of our ancestors, our loved ones, go down throughout the family. And so that's the important thing for me to carry it down. And I think they cover stuff like that. I think they cover different situations in the family, whether it be legal or whatever it is. I believe it's a big prayer, and that relationship with God is a big blanket over not just your family, but the family members the families to come. Yeah. So the grands, the great grands, from here on out. So I believe that's one of the things, and I believe it covers in loss. So I believe that we were covered from those prayers, from things like that. So we were blessed. There wasn't a lot, you know. I'm not like, you know. I just remember, you know, getting a, you know, you, I'll just be straight up. You get a little money, and you move on. You know, you're not waiting. I definitely wasn't waiting for Dad to pass away. Didn't want it at all. You know, he talked about being around for my daughter's wedding. You know, he was like, oh, I want to be around this. And then, you know, it didn't happen, but it really was, to me, a blessing. Now, you talk to Talk to my mama, you know, I don't know, but I think it was. I think I would know. I think she would. I don't see why she would tell me, you know, oh, this, they wanted this and this and that. I think it was okay, my older brother, my younger brother, myself, and my mom, just speaking of the immediate family, I think it was a good process.
Love it. You know, I'm so happy to hear this because, like I said, I hear the horror stories of, you know, they're not speaking to each other anymore. They fist fought.
Right.
And even in my family, right after.
Yeah.
You know,
and I think that they prepared for that, too. And that's something that even as I talk, you know, we have to do some things, too, you know, and I need to get on that myself even as I speak as far as, you know, you have to spell out some things. Things need to be spelled out, I think, and that helps out. I know that my mom and my dad had some things spelled out, and I'm sure that helps. So, but yeah, that's it. No fist fighting. No, blessed are the peacemakers.
Exactly. We need you. We need you. We need you. Alrighty. Well, since we brought up mom and you talked about her and you talked about your grandparents on both sides of the family, but since that has transitioned, how has mom been? How has mom, well, from your perspective, because you know, if I'm looking in,
right.
How is mom doing?
From my perspective, mom is great. Mom just celebrated her 25th birthday again. and I know that's weird because I'm 45, but, you know, you don't ask no questions. I'm 43, okay. I'm 43. But mom is great. You know, I try to institute a rule where mom doesn't go anywhere without telling me, and she's pretty much failing at that. So mom gets out and she goes, you know, wherever. She travels, you know, all across the states, and I think she's trying pretty soon to even get across this country, get to another country, besides Mexico, you know. And So mom does good, but, you know, I'm telling you, if mom might be listening, she know I got a problem. You know, if I call over there, I'm like, okay, you're supposed to answer every phone call and every, you know, whatever. But mom, she don't do that well. She's not good at that. She just gets out and goes, and that's good. I think that's a sign of what we talked about earlier. You know, you don't go to the house and she's sitting around the house, you know. She's no longer working, and she's retired, so she's going on. She's moving on. So mom, from my perspective, is doing good, except for, like I said, she don't be checking in. She don't check in enough. Mom, you don't check in enough.
Well, I'm going to ask this question, and Ian, you know, I love to see how people respond or react to this one. Being that dad is no longer around, is mom dating?
Yeah,
are you prepared for mom to date?
Yeah, nah, mom, we're not even, you know, you see, you asked me that, nah. Look, to answer your question, I don't even know, but... See, that's what I'm saying, man. She can't be doing stuff like that. Yeah, you can move on so much, but nah, man. Nah, so I don't know. I don't know, mom. You know, mom goes out and she's, you know, she, a lot of times she's with her friends or whatever. I don't know if she's, you know, she hangs out with male friends or whatever. But if she's listening, she probably is. No, no more of that. That's good. Put her on punishment. Gotta cut that off. But I wouldn't be surprised.
I love it, mom.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Put you on timeout.
Yeah.
Put you on timeout. I love it. I love it. Well, I want to ask you another question, but it's about you.
Okay.
as a defining moment in your life, some of the things, you know, that your father has spoken, and I know we're winding up on time, so I do want to ask this so I can be able to give them your information. What is one of the key nuggets or precious moments that you keep close to your heart about your father, Willie Bush?
I'm gonna tell this quick story, because this is how I learned about the Holy Spirit. This is how I learned about the Holy Spirit. So one time I got in trouble. I think I had come in late, and you know, Dad was a military dude, and pretty much if he said, you know, you be here at this time, that's what time you were there. So I came in late, and I was gonna get a spanking or a whooping, as we call it, or whatever. I guess I'm in high school or whatever. In high school. So I come in late, and I'm going to get a whooping. Now, first of all, sometimes he would wait. I think maybe because he was praying about it, I don't know. But it would be like, if you come home late at night, you know, he's like, and, you know, in the morning you're going to get a whooping. You don't sleep that well. You know, that night it's like, can we just do this now and then, you know, get over it or whatever? But no, it didn't happen. So I had to wait, and then in the morning, you know, I got my spanking. So it was like, you know, how many am I gonna get? And he said, I'm gonna go until the Holy Spirit tell me to stop. So I'm thinking to myself, I don't know really about the Holy Spirit, but I'm praying now, like, please, whatever it is, just tell him to stop now. And so, you know, later on, as you learn that the Holy Spirit is a comforter, and you say,
yes.
Wow, yeah, you know, I definitely needed that comfort to stop him from beating me down. So, but that's just... I mean, and Dad wasn't, you know, I have people, you know, people don't believe in all that and stuff, and, you know, I have to call CPS. It's too late now anyway. But, you know, we were disciplined. You know, we were disciplined, and we turned out all right. But that's kind of how I learned about the Holy Spirit. I'll never forget that. He said, I'm going to go to the Holy Spirit, tell me to stop. And you're like, I don't know who you are, but please tell him to stop, please.
Please. It thank God for the Holy Spirit. He comforted you in that moment. He was with you. Oh, God. You know, we're at this time that I hate, but I have to. You know, I just got a little birdie in my ear that chirped and told me something, that you are writing a book.
Yeah, I'm working on it. It's slow going, and... I think I've titled it Only What I Remember, and that's because I don't, you know, my wife remembers everything, and I mean everything, like, oh, that was my first grade teacher and stuff. To be honest with you, a lot of my life, I don't really, like, remember, like, seventh, eighth grade or something like that is where I can kind of go back or whatever, but... A lot of things, I don't know if they were either just boring or whatever, but I just remember things starting then. So it's, like I said, it's slow going, but I'm working on it. You know, I'm always writing and doing little things, excerpts, I would say, that could go in there. But, you know, to sit down and actually write is like, you know, it can be a tough task. But, you know, whenever I get a minute, I sit in there, and it's just kind of a journey, you know? I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I sit and think, I don't know if it'll mean anything to anybody or if it's even for everybody, but I'm just working on it. So that's true. The little birdie didn't lie.
Well, thank you, Birdie, for chirping in my ear and sharing that fabulous information with us, because we're going to have you back. When you finish this book, we got to come back on the show. Well, Oh, Lord, we had that time. Well, I want them to be able to contact you. Please give us your contact information.
Yes, and I'm ready this time. I wasn't ready last time, but I'm ready.
Okay,
okay, so here's the deal. I have Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Now, my Facebook is the one that I'm on the most. And I know they say, I have kids say that's for old people, but I'm on it. So, because I like to write.
Mm-hmm.
Instagram is more pictures, and, you know, Twitter is real short, so I can't fit in there. But on Facebook, I am The Announcer. So not just the, but THEE Announcer. The Space Announcer on Facebook. On Twitter, I am also at The Announcer, all together at The Announcer. On Instagram, which is more of my, you know, announcing stuff with the Sparks and, you know, just pictures and with people that I meet, I'm Hootie Who. So I don't know if you even knew that because you weren't tagging me in my Instagram stuff. I'm at Hootie Who. Well, it says Hootie.who, but if you put in Hootie Who, you'll find me up there with the microphone in front of my face there. And I can be emailed at who's announcing, WHOS, and then announcing, which is kind of a play on my first name because I was always called Who, you know, for short growing up. So it's who's announcing in the question and who, but and who's announcing. But WHOS and then the word announcing at Yahoo and at gmail.com. So those are the ways to contact me if you want to say hi. And, of course, you can always say hi to me during Spark season and my new job with the Agua Caliente Clippers. I love to talk to people and see people. So that's it.
I want to share that information. I wanted you to be able to share that with them. You're new. What you have going on. And I think a lot of times we don't, you know, always share. But today I am thankful that you did. And can you say that again? I just want to celebrate it one more time. Can you repeat that? Your new job.
I'm the new announcer of the Agua Caliente Clippers.
I'm so excited for you. We are one step closer.
How blessed am I to get two professional basketball teams in Southern California? I mean, that's, you know, it's, like I said, amazing. So
it is amazing. But he is giving us his contact information. Please talk to him and share with him how this has helped you, encouraged you, and inspired you. Where we're at this time, Alicia, where we have to let you go, but know that you are always a part of the Alicia Kane Show family. If you have any books, anything coming up, please do not hesitate to let us know. And we look forward to all the great things that we will hear, see, and promote for you. And we just thank you again for being on the show.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Well, time that I hate, the time where I have to let you go. But as I often say, continue to be the best you that you can be. Live your authentic life. Live out loud. Yes, live out loud. You have been listening to the LaRusha King Show on Living Out Loud Radio, and we would like to say have a blessed day. Goodbye.